Warning: the following content may be disturbing to some individuals. Consumer discretion is advised.
Sirens of the Supernatural.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to our creepy Christmas episode. We have a special blurry guest down there with a hood on.
It's like so scary. It's like glitching in and out almost. It's like yeah. Perfect.
And then Lindsay off camera and another scary guest behind me that we'll be talking about tonight. And if you heard the wind in the intro, that is about what the wind sounds like where I live up in the mountains, and it's snowing and it's getting me in the Christmas spirit. So, Ryan and Lindsay, are y'all ready for Christmas?
I'm ready.
Oh, we're getting ready. There's a lot of naughty, and I'm sure there's a few nice kids out there that we'll be visiting during this episode.
He's ready to jump right into the creepy part. Yes, listeners, you heard me right. We're going to have a creepy Christmas episode where Lindsay's going to introduce you to some of the folklore around the world where I would be scared to death if I were a child and heard some of these legends. So, yeah, I'm glad it was just Santa when I was growing up. So, this guy behind me, she's going to take it away and tell us all about.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Krampus. Krampus. I guess the first thing that I want to say is one thing, and I don't know if everybody feels this way around this time of year, but one thing that I really like starting at Halloween. So Halloween's like the spooky, you know, everybody knows Halloween's the scary holiday and it's fun to be spooky, but after Halloween goes away, I don't think necessarily the spookiness of the season goes away, because we're in winter now. First day of winter, I think, is on the 22nd. So the nights are getting longer. It's cold outside. It's a good time for bonfires and scary stories, especially winter solstice. It's the longest night of the year. So I think traditionally there used to be a lot more scary stories told around Christmas, especially Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens. I mean, that's one of the best all-time scary Christmas stories anyways, and there's a ton of different versions of it. But you don't really hear so much about Krampus around, well, at least we don't hear so much about Krampus during the holiday season, because now it's bright and cheery and Santa Claus is going to bring everybody a present and we're all going to be merry and happy on Christmas Day, which is all well and good, but there's some darker sides of Christmas too, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So I'm really excited. I'm going to link all of our works cited and all that good stuff in the show notes, and I'm just going to go ahead and talk and not worry about that so much right now, but if you want any sources or any websites to get pictures and stuff, those will be in the show notes for sure. So let's just jump right in, and we're going to talk about Krampus and his history and origins. So, you know, the legend of Krampus, it originates as a German Christmas tradition during the 12th century. So this guy's been around for quite a bit of time. This has spread throughout the Alpine region in Austria to the rest of Europe and the world. So these days, you'd probably be hard-pressed to find somebody who hasn't heard the word Krampus, at least. And it's derived from the German word Krampen, which means claw. And you'll understand why that's relevant when we talk about what exactly he looks like. Have you guys, pause, have you guys, either one of you, seen a few years back, there was like a scary Christmas movie called Krampus? Did either one of you guys see that movie?
I did. I told Ryan he needs to watch it.
Yeah, so I went into the theater thinking it was going to be the stupidest Christmas. I mean, when it first started, to be fair, I was like, oh, this is going to be real bad. Like, this is going to be a funny, scary Christmas movie. And it kind of was at some parts, but other parts it was genuinely pretty creepy. So yes, Ryan, you have to watch it. And listeners, if you haven't seen it, it's definitely add it to your list, because it's a pretty fun watch.
Yes.
Okay, so getting back into it, December 5th is Krampusnacht, which means Krampus Night. And so Krampus is thought to have been part of a pagan ritual for winter solstice, and was sometimes known as the son of Hel, who was the Norse god of the underworld. But then with the spread of Christianity, he became associated more with Christmas, and the Catholics at one point tried to have him banned, but he's just too iconic, all right? Like, we're not getting rid of Krampus. He's here to stay. He's thought to be the devilish companion of Saint Nick. So I like to think of them as like Christmas besties. Like, they go out on December 5th and they just have a night of bonding time, you know? So December 5th, Krampusnacht, the two guys, they go out on the town. Okay, Saint Nick leaves presents for the good kids. And then Krampus, he's gonna eat or even take some of the bad kids away. So he carries around a stick, and he's either gonna give you some taps with that stick, or he's just gonna decide to eat you himself, or he's just gonna take you back to wherever it is that he comes from. And you'll never be seen ever again. Wow. And then, so the next day is December 6th, it's St. Nicholas Day. The kids get to wake up to either presents or injuries, or maybe they don't wake up at all if they got eaten. So RIP to those kids, I guess. So that's just a night of fun. But I thought it was interesting, I guess, Krampus Night and then St. Nicholas Day are right there together, but it's not December 25th, which is when we celebrate. So that was kind of interesting to me. I don't know if it would be different here or if it would still be the same in America. I don't know anybody that celebrates Krampus Night personally, but
I wonder if some of the first settlers did you find anything about that?
Okay. I sure didn't. And I was looking too, because I thought maybe, you know, Krampus, it's folklore. Like, some people say, oh, I've seen a skinwalker. Has anybody seen Krampus? And I got to looking and I really couldn't find a lot of stories. I don't know that that's a very popular thing for people to, at least here, like locally, I don't know that I know anybody that's even thought of that. So let's talk a little bit about what our boy Krampus looks like, because he's fun time. He's a very unique fella. So he's got pointed devilish horns, a long snake tongue. He's got dark, coarse fur and kind of looks like a goat crossed with a demon a little bit. Now, this is my favorite little tidbit. Okay, are you ready?
Ready.
So you can hear him coming. And you'll know it's him by the distinct sound of one soft step of his human foot alternating with the little clip-clop of his other cloven hoof. So he's got one human foot, and the other one is a hoof. How unique!
Okay.
Yeah. He's also sometimes strung in chains and bells. Now, this was not an original part of Krampus, but it's thought to have been a Christian influence meant to kind of symbolize binding the devil. And he also pairs this fit with a large sack to cart away the kids that he doesn't beat or eat, that he just wants to take away. Now, I don't know if maybe these kids were super, super bad. To me, I'm thinking, okay, the ones that are a little bad, they're going to get tapped with his branches. Maybe the ones that are, like, really bad, he takes back to work for him. And the ones that are super bad, he's like, you know what? There's no coming back from this. I'm just going to go ahead and eat you. Like, you're just going to be my little Christmas snack. And I'm just going to take you on a fun little journey to my tummy.
I'm telling you, those parents were sick telling their kids.
This is some really fun stuff. And I know that, like, with Santa Claus, everybody's like, oh, I want a gift. I don't want coal in my stocking, so I'm going to try to be really good. And that's all well and good. But we all know that there's kids out there that would not care about that. They probably would care about Krampus. Like, who wants to get eaten alive or just taken completely away? That's terrifying.
Yeah, it sure would make me behave if I were a kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, something else that I just read really quickly. I didn't see too much about this. He has an army of Perchten, I think is how it's pronounced. These are ill-tempered elves. So Santa has good elves that help him make toys. Krampus has some mischief makers because they roam the Tyrolean mountains, and their pastimes include whipping lazy folks, unruly youngsters, and drunks. They just go around whipping people with their branches.
Wow.
I just love it. It's just so fun. Okay. Any questions so far about Krampus and his ill-tempered elves, his Perchten?
Ryan,
I think you're muted.
We lost him.
Yes, according to the lore, you know, you get a lot of mischievous children, and, mm-hmm. you know, this is something in a way to try to make them behave properly. You know, besides getting coal and not getting any presents, was you given any kind of insight to that when you was growing up?
What do you mean? Did I threaten her with Krampus if she wasn't good?
I'm just saying, you know, if you're not good, you're going to be taken away, or, you know, you don't deserve any presents, or, you know, an evil munchkin's going to come get you in your sleep.
I'll be honest, when I was really little and believed in Santa, I don't think I believed in him for too crazy long, but when I did believe in Santa, I was kind of a little uncomfortable with that whole idea anyways, because who is a strange man coming into my house? That's great that he has a present for me, but how does he know what I'm doing all the time? He sees me when I'm awake. Yeah. He sees me when I'm sleeping. I'm a bit uncomfortable with that. It's a little,
I never thought about that.
Yeah, it's a little scary. And I always thought, like, you go see Santa at the mall and you take a picture. It's very rare for those kids to ever look happy doing that. So I kind of low key think that most kids are a little creeped out about Santa in the first place, because yeah, he looks jolly and happy, but you know, kids are always taught stranger danger, don't talk to people mm-hmm. that you don't know. And it hits deep, even with Santa. I'm glad that you're in a good mood and you got me a present, but I'm going to need you to drop it and go on and head out, because that's a little creepy to me. No, I didn't know about Krampus.
Yeah, I didn't either.
When I was a little baby child, I think that Krampus would have probably traumatized me. I would not have been okay with him. Now, I love it. I love everything about it. But as a child, I don't think I would have come back from that, to be honest. That's scary.
Yeah. Can you remember, Ryan?
Telling people about Krampus and that if they don't behave, they're going to be taken away by Santa's demon brother? Is that kind of what you do?
God, no.
I can see, though, Ryan, I can see if our dads, which are brothers, had known about Krampus, I could see them telling us that story when we were little. Oh, heck yeah. They would have told us that in a heartbeat.
They probably would have dressed up and came to the door.
It probably would have. They did enough to try to scare us.
I don't know. I think I'd have been meaner, because they said mean kids got coal, and all the coal I would have had to load it up, and all the wood I used to have to stack. I think I'd have been mean on purpose just so I wouldn't have had to work so hard.
get more coal.
Alrighty, yep. So we're going to transition. We're going to talk about Krampus now. Okay, so now that we know where Krampus comes from and where, what his origins are and what he looks like, we're going to talk a little bit about Krampus in the modern world. So many Alpine countries still continue to celebrate Krampus Night to this day, and they have parades. The biggest, I think, that I found was in Austria, in Salzburg, Austria. And it's called the Krampuslauf, which is also known as the Krampus Run, or today known as the Krampus Parade. It's kind of funny because it used to be almost like a running of the bulls kind of thing, where entrance of the running of Krampus, they would try to outpace a runner dressed as Krampus. And traditionally, the people running from Krampus were drunk so that they couldn't really outpace him and he could catch up with them and just beat them with a stick.
What a show.
I know. I was like, that is hilarious. But so now it's kind of not that anymore. It's about as big as Mardi Gras is to New Orleans now. So it's a very, very big parade. And it takes place at night. I'm guessing, I think that I saw December 5th, because that's Krampus Night. So it takes place at night and has marchers dressed in costume. So these costumes resemble almost like a caveman Viking Krampus with furry costumes, demonic masks, horns, whips, and torches. And some people are like more acrobatic with it and they do flips and tricks, and some people just kind of, you know, prowl around and walk like a creepy Krampus creature, and some people just walk around flicking at the spectators with their whips as they go. But something that I found was really cool is that these costumes are mostly handmade and they have really amazing craftsmanship. The masks are usually carved by hand with wood, and they depict a demonic face with a snarl or open mouth. Sometimes you'll see horns, and it doesn't just have to be like two typical pointy horns. These masks have all kinds of different horns. Sometimes they have a bunch of horns, sometimes they just have two pointy ones, sometimes they have like goat horns, the curly like ram horns, and they're carved by hand, which I think is just amazing. You'll also sometimes see like a snake, like a forked tongue, sometimes it'll just be regular tongue, but they're usually paired with real animal pelts, hair, and fur. So it's easy to watch videos of this parade and think, okay, well, I'm just actually watching a parade of demons, because it's, I mean, they really get into character. And I tried to find pictures from the parade, and I found some really cool ones, but I encourage you guys to go on YouTube and look up videos of it, because I feel like the pictures don't do it justice. The videos kind of put you there, and it's at night, and there's torches all around, and you have these demonic beasts running down the street, flicking at you with their whips. It's just a whole vibe that you can't really get with the pictures.
Is there music too, like drummers and?
I think so, maybe. And I don't think it's a obviously very kid friendly event. Yeah. Some of the videos that I saw, there were some kids there, but I think for the most part, it's kind of a creepy parade that you want to get some drinks beforehand and go just vibe with the spooky Christmas of it all.
That would be neat to go to in person, wouldn't it?
Yes, I think it would be. And I found a lot of travel websites that have a, like, whole sites dedicated to the Krampus parade and the food stops that you should make along the way, and here's where to get the best drinks, and here's what time you should be where. I mean, it was really, really cool. But we're also going to put in the show notes, there are whole websites dedicated to the highest skilled mask carvers. So it, like, if you're somebody that's going to the Krampus parade and you want to be in it, but you're not really skilled at making stuff like that, you can go online and find people that do this for a living and will carve you, if you have an idea in mind, they'll carve you like a specific mask, or you can order one from their website. And I mean, these are not cheap. Like, wow. These are like $500+ because it's a wooden mask. And even after you wear it in the Krampus parade, it's something that you probably want to display somewhere in your house because it's such high craftsmanship. And they're really amazing. And there's all kinds of different types of masks. There's very stylized ones. There's really simple ones. But we're going to put that website that I found in the show notes so you guys can go look through all of them because they're very, very cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Do you guys have any questions about that Krampus parade? Are we going to go next year or?
I would love to.
Can we start a Krampus parade here?
Oh, there you go.
We would be arrested on the spot. We would. They would put us on the news. They'd be like, these people have lost their minds. They're dressing like demons. They have to go to jail right now, and we're going to get them an exorcism.
And all the kids would be scared.
Traumatized for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Very traumatized. But I definitely think it would be such a cool thing to go to. All of the videos that I saw of the parades, I mean, if you know nothing about Krampus at all, they can come across as very, like, satanic and demonic and, like, who would go to that? That looks like a cult kind of thing.
Yeah.
That I know a lot of, especially in this area, because there's, I would say, a heavy Christian influence especially in the Appalachian Mountains, there can be. So I could see, like... a lot of the older people in our family being like, oh my word, what is this? This is insane. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I think it's really cool. And to know like the history and the origins of it. I mean, this is something that's been done for hundreds and hundreds of years in these areas, like the Alpine region. It's so closely tied in with their history and their culture that I just think it's so cool.
Yeah, that's really wild.
Well, if you guys don't have any more questions about good old Krampy, I'm going to tell you about some other Christmas creatures.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So the first one that I'm going to talk about is La Befana, and this one's more from Italy. So usually when La Befana is depicted, it's almost witch-like, but the stories that I found, yes, she does carry around a broom, but it's for a different reason, and you'll hear that in a minute. So here is kind of the backstory on La Befana in Italy. So apparently, a long, long, long time ago, the Magi, the three wise men, stopped along their journey to see the baby Jesus at the home of an old woman. She welcomes them in with refreshments and asks about their trip. And they tell her that they're following the star to see mankind's savior and ask if she wants to come along. But she's like, no, I've got too much to do. I have too many chores to get taken care of. So they're like, okay, well, we're going to keep going on a journey, and they leave. But while she's sweeping, she changes her mind and she sets off on the same journey. By this point, though, the Magi are long gone, so she doesn't know where they went or if the house is near or far or where the baby Jesus even is. So she just stops and leaves sweets at every child's door, hoping that one of them is the baby Jesus. Now, in modern times, she also leaves coal for naughty kids, but because she was in the middle of sweeping and doing her chores, she's got her broom with her. A lot of times she's depicted as a witch. But in this story that I found, she was just more of a housewife. Like, she wasn't really flying around on the broom. She just happened to have it with her because she decided she wanted to go. So that's La Befana, which I think is really cool. And I think, if I'm remembering right, when I taught in elementary school, there's a popular children's story on La Befana. Huh. So that's still read in classrooms, at least here. I'm sure it is really big in Italy too, but that's still a story that's well known across the world too.
So let me ask you a question. So you said that she left sweets at each home that had a child in the hopes mm-hmm. that one of them would be the
one of them was
and get her treat.
Yeah,
I guess that's another way to explain getting, you know, treats or stocking stuffers or what have you.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly when the coal comes into play. I'm sure, like, spread of Christianity, like we said, when mm-hmm. St. Nick and Santa Claus got big, that probably factored into the La Befana story too, that mm-hmm. well, the naughty kids shouldn't get sweets, she's gonna leave them coal.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, that's fine, I guess. The next thing that I found might be my favorite besides Krampus. they're called the Yule Lads. And so the Yule Lads, Grilla and Lepilotti, I hope I'm saying that right. So Grilla and Lepilotti are ogres, and the Yule Lads are their sons. And then there's also something called a Yule Cat that is kind of their pet. It's like all of their pet lives in the cave with them. So this is an Icelandic culture. The Yule Lads are 13 lads. There's one for each of the 13 nights leading up to Christmas. Ah. On each night, kids place a shoe on their windowsill to get either candy or a rotten potato.
Okay.
So not coal. Not something that we can use. Just a straight up rotten potato. You can't use it. It's not good for anything. You're just bad, and you get a rotten potato, and you're moving on.
Okay, now, is that what we're looking at here on screen?
Yeah. So on screen, it's kind of like an illustrated version. You can see Grilla and Lepilotti in the bottom two, and then the Yule Lads, and we'll go through each one of them are there. And I think this illustration is so cute too. They did a really good job on it. But so apparently, they used to be a lot scarier until there was a ban in 1746. And this ban said that parents could no longer traumatize their children at Christmas with scary tales to get them to be good. And then, so Grilla comes down from the mountains on Christmas and boils naughty children alive and eats them. So because she's an ogre, right? So that's what ogres do. So she doesn't really give the good kids anything. She's just really looking for the bad ones, and she's going to boil them alive and eat them. And I couldn't really find anything about her husband. I guess he just helps her eat them. I don't think he comes down from the mountain and really does anything that I could find anyways. But I was kind of just concentrating on the Yule Lads because they are a fun time. So let's go through. Let's go through the Yule Lads, and I'll tell you about each one of them. So, okay. Number one, we have Sheepcoat Claude. He suckles ewes in farmer sheds. That's his thing. He goes in to a farmer shed where there are ewes and sheep, and he suckles them.
So he's taking the family's milk, in other words.
Kind of, yeah. Number two is Gullygock, and he steals foam from buckets of cow's milk. So he's not stealing the milk. He's stealing the foam on the top. That's what he likes. So he's going to go in and do that. Number three is Stubby. I love Stubby. He's short, and he steals food from frying pans.
From frying pans, okay.
Mm-hmm. A little Stubby, that's what he does.
So we got milk, we got butter, the foam on top of the milk, and then food from the frying pan, which was probably mm-hmm. some kind of meat.
Mm-hmm. Number four is Spoon Licker, and that's just in the name right there. That one's pretty obvious.
That would be my nickname.
He's gonna come in, he's gonna lick your spoons. If you have anything left on your spoons, You don't anymore because he done licked it off. That's his now. And he might take the spoon too. Who knows?
Oh, I hope the listeners will give this a watch on YouTube so they can see this.
Oh, yeah. Really look at the illustrations because they're a fun time. Number five is pot scraper. He steals unwashed pots and licks them clean. It's unclear if he returns these pots once they're licked clean or if he just takes them.
Okay.
I just love them. I think it's so funny. Number six is bowl licker. Same thing from him. But this one's interesting. He steals bowls of food from under the bed. So I guess in Icelandic culture, maybe they were storing food at some point, like in storage kind of under the bed and like different covered bowls and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But he's going to come in and he's going to take that for himself. He's going to eat the food out of those bowls. Number seven is door slammer. He stomps and slams and keeps everyone awake at night.
Okay.
They are just causing trouble. They are, okay, if there is a farm in Iceland and they have naughty kids, these 13 Yule lads are going to come in and they are going to ruin your entire family in one night. They're going to come in, each one of them on their own night. It's going to be the family's, like, they're going to think that they have the worst luck in the world. Once they get to Christmas, they're going to be like, my God, we've been having a rough go of it, guys.
Nothing's left.
Just damn Yule lads, I'm telling you. Okay. Number eight is the skier gobbler. He eats up all Icelandic yogurt, which is also known as skier.
Okay.
He's going to come in, he's going to eat all the yogurt. No yogurt for anybody but him. Number nine is the sausage swiper. Can you guess what he does?
Yeah. He takes all their sausage, huh?
He steals the sausages. He just comes in and swipes them.
Oh, gosh. This is hilarious.
Number 10 is the window peeper.
For real?
Yeah. He's the window peeper. He comes in and he creeps on you. And he sometimes steals the things out of your house that he can see that he likes. So he's going to come in. He's going to peep in your window. And if he sees something in your house that he wants, he's going to do some breaking and entering. He's the B&E on this list, okay? He's going to come in, he's going to take your stuff that he likes, and you're going to be left with nothing. Number 11 is the door sniffer.
The door sniffer.
He has a huge nose and steals baked goods.
He's my favorite so far.
So he's on the picture on the screen. He's the one on the bottom left.
Bottom left with the yellow background. Nose. Yeah.
Yeah, big old nose, but man, he is reveling in that sniff. He's got a good sniff going on right there.
Yeah, he does.
And he's smelling some baked goods, and he's going to come in, and he's going to steal those baked goods. He's going to eat them up. Number 12 is the meat hook. He Ooh. Takes any meat left out. He loves smoked lamb. That's his favorite. If it's smoked lamb and you leave it out on a meat hook, you might as well just give it to him. It's going to be gone. So if you have smoked lamb, put it away. Not in a bowl under the bed, because that's going to get gone too. But you need to put it up in a cabinet somewhere where nobody can see it or smell it. Don't leave it on a hook. You might, if you have baked lamb, basically just eat it after you fix it. Otherwise, it's going to get gone.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, we have the candle beggar. And obviously he steals candles, which used to, I guess, be before electricity, mm-hmm. like a very hot commodity in Iceland. So that was a big deal of things to steal. I love them. I just love the Yule lads. And I love the name. They're just a bunch of lads. They're just yeah. some mischievous lads that are going to come in. I think it's funny, though, that none of them... at least in this story that I found, leave you anything good. So it's not there. This one's not like Santa Claus, who's going to come and bring you good things.
Mm-hmm.
These all are taking from you in some way.
Yeah, taking your food, your valuables, your life.
If you're not good, and if you're not careful, and if you're not smart, I'm sorry to tell you, December is going to be a really rough month for you. It's going to be a rough time.
I don't know. I think it's 50-50. Either you get your dishes washed or you get your food stolen.
That's true, but unfortunately, the dishes aren't being washed very well. They're just being licked up, and I don't know that I would be good with that. I just love them. I think they're so fun. Now there are so many. I feel like we could almost do an episode on every like Christmas / winter solstice creature, mm-hmm. because I mean that didn't even scratch the surface. Krampus obviously is the biggest, most popular one. But there are so many other ones that I didn't even really touch on. And the Yule Cat, so that's their pet. He lives in the cave with them. And he comes down and he basically just eats the people that weren't able to get any new clothes for Christmas.
What? He eats the people?
Yeah, so if you
didn't get new clothes.
Yeah, so basically he comes down and he's looking for the best outfits. The best new sparkly outfits for that Christmas. And if you have not been able to get anything to impress him, if he sees your outfit and he's like, trash, no, you're done. He's going to eat you. If you don't have any new shoes, if you don't have like a jacket to go over your clothes, that he's like, man, that person looks really sharp. They're going to live. I'm going to let them live for another year and I'll see you next year. Are you going to impress me again? Are you gonna get a new headpiece? If you don't, if you're somehow too poor to either afford to buy something or make something new for yourself, you just better leave the area, I guess, for Christmas. Go travel, visit somebody else's family, because otherwise you're just gonna get eaten by the old cat. So not only is Grilla gonna come down and get the naughty kids and boil them and eat them alive. And she's going to send all her sons out, the Yule lads, to do all their little mischief. But if you were able to somehow get through all of those things, but you didn't get any new clothes for Christmas, I'm sorry. You thought you made it out? I'm sorry, the Yule cat's going to come get you.
So here's what I want to know. Why has someone not made a movie out of this instead of Krampus? How did Krampus get so popular?
I want a Yule Lads movie.
There you go.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and they're all a fun time. But I need a Yule Lads movie. I need it ASAP.
And that you said that was in Iceland.
Yeah. And Iceland, December seems like a very unforgiving month. Yeah. For Icelandic people. I mean, I'm sure it's beautiful, and I'm sure they have a great time celebrating together, but you really got to be on it if you live in Iceland. You gotta have it on lock, basically, or you're going to have a rough time. Oof.
So is that the weirdest Christmas folklore you came across?
That I came across, yes, but there's also one, and I forget the name, that is, it's a zombie horse that comes around during Christmas nights. I didn't get to research that one so much because I got caught up in the Yule Lads, obviously. But like I said, I feel like I could research a different one, and it could just get its own episode because,
I mean, they're fascinating. Where that one originated, the zombie horse.
Zombie horse. No, but I can look it up fast.
Ryan, do you have any questions? That's kind of cool, the Yule Lads.
This is interesting. I mean, you know, you got your good Santa, your bad Santa with Krampus. You got your seven dwarves. You got your, you know, your evil dwarves. And, you know, there's yin and yangs. It's interesting.
It is. When she said ogre, I started thinking about Shrek for some reason, and that movie where he had all the little babies.
So the Christmas horse is Marilud? Marilud? Varilud? I don't know. I hope I'm saying that right. I don't think I am at all, but it's found in South Wales.
Oh, in Wales. Okay, that's interesting.
And it's basically, it's a zombie horse.
That comes and gets, like, naughty kids or...
It says... Let me look. It's believed that the term meant Holy Mary, and this was a reference to Mary, Mother of Jesus. But the term had originally meant gray mare, referring to the head's equine appearance. Blah, 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 blah. What does it do? Is the thing. What does it do?
Or why is it related to Christmas? Yeah. Well, maybe you can find a link or something and we can throw it up on our social medias for people on our channels for people who are interested.
Yeah, because I think I had seen a website that had a bunch of different descriptions of like creepy Christmas folklore. And that's one of them that I had like kind of come across, but I didn't look too much into it. Because like I said, I mean, we could do a full episode on each one of them because there's just so much information to get through.
Yeah, and it's fascinating to me how all of it got tied in with like spooky legends and stuff. Like I know Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol, you know, that's one of my favorite stories, and it always seems like if you're spending time with family at Christmas, it's just something about sitting by the fire and talking, and sooner or later, some kind of scary little story is going to come out. You know, I don't know what it is about Christmas that makes us, you know, maybe it just is a time where we can laugh a little bit more at it or something. I don't know. It is, though. It's weird that all these, all the folklore that we've talked about has, like Ryan said, the yin and yang. You have the good, but they balance it out with the bad. And boy, is it bad. I mean... Yeah. I hope that our parents really heeded the warning at the beginning of the episode that some content might be disturbing, especially for young listeners on this one. But
and I think too that because it's like we're past Halloween and it's really dark, and you know, a long time ago before electricity, they probably just had bonfires and they had candles, and it was dark early and it was dark longer, and at some point during the night, especially if you're sitting around a bonfire, you're gonna start thinking of the different traditions, the different winter solstice traditions, whether that's Christianity or whether that's any other kind of religion. It's going to be spiritual and it's going to be a little supernatural. And so that can kind of get your brain on the track of, what's a good ghost story that I can tell right now? What's a good spooky story that I can tell? And maybe it has something to do with Christmas, but maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's just completely random, scary story. But it's just fun. It's just so fun to tell ghost stories. I mean, why not? You know, especially if it's spooky already, well, why don't we just dive into that hard? We'll just be spooky all night for the remainder of winter.
Right. And when you're sitting around a fire and you're with your family and everything feels cozy and safe.
Yeah.
You feel like you have a little bit more freedom to, to tell those numbers, stories.
So why not?
Yeah. Exactly. Ryan, what do you think about all that? You think there's something to it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you have to have something to offset the other. So, you know, I'm just saying, if there's any naughty kids out there, you might want to, you know, you've got about a week left. So you might want to be good and, you know, try to make up some lost time. You never know what might come see you.
Yeah.
And you better be glad that you're not in Iceland. That's all I'm saying. Or in Austria, because.
Or Germany.
Yeah. Germany or Austria or the whole Alpine region. I mean, they've got Krampus is roaming around up there with his little ill-tempered elves, and they're going to come for you if you're naughty.
Well, you know, he's friends with Santa. If Santa can make his trip in 14 hours around the world, and there is GPS now, so, you know, maybe these kids in the U.S. might not be so lucky this year.
Yeah. And you really have to ask yourself, okay, if Santa, if Saint Nick and Krampus, if they work together, if they're buds and they work together on the same night and they go around, what kind of person does that make Santa? That he's got this list and he's been checking it twice, but he's sharing that confidential information with this guy that's gonna come beat the crap out of you or eat you or kidnap you. What kind of man is that?
Well, he does warn you.
Yeah, he does. Santa's not, all right, Santa's jolly and Santa's nice, but Santa's not playing around. If you're being a little shit, he's got you on lock, okay? And he's gonna get you right.
Hey, you better be leaving those cookies out.
Yeah, you better. I don't think there's anything that you can leave out for Krampus. At that point, I think you're just too far gone. He's not changing his mind. If he's coming for you, honey, cookies aren't going to change anything at that point. You know what I mean?
Right.
Santa brings your presents, no cookies. Hey, Krampus, man, I got somebody for you.
Krampus, they didn't leave me any cookies. You know what to do.
It's like Krampus is Santa's hit, man. Ryan, you look like Emperor Palpatine or Darth Maul with that with that hoodie.
You know, I've got a few days before I make my trip, so you know, I'm not sure if I'm wearing my horns or my red hat. So
you have your wooden mask?
I've got a few things hid back in the closet.
You got a few tricks up your sleeve, huh? Oh, mercy. This has been fun. Lindsay, was there anything else that you wanted to add?
I think that I have fully expressed all of the creepy Krampus and other creature lore that I set out to. I feel very accomplished.
Well, I have learned a lot. I have, yes, definitely learned a lot. And, I'm sure Ryan has too, and our listeners as well. I hope it was fun and creepy and spooky and Christmassy and everything else. And speaking of the holidays, we're going to take a break over the holidays and be back with an exciting season 2 in February of next year. So that's not too far away. We'll still be active on our social media channels, and we may even be doing some polls on there. And Ryan is going to tell you some more things that we may ask our listeners to send in. But we wanted to let our listeners know that we wish you all a Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah, however you celebrate the holiday.
Happy Krampus.
Yes, Happy Krampus or Krampus Night or whatever it is. And we wish you all the best in the new year, and we can't wait to be back with you for season 2. We'll be giving you some hints of what's coming over the next few weeks. So Ryan, take it away. Tell our listeners about our socials and what we want them to send in.
Oh, absolutely. Listeners, you know, and all you sirens out there, make sure you're listening and following on all our social media outlets. You know, such as Spotify, YouTube, Instagram, things like that. It's Sirens of the Supernatural. And on TikTok, make sure it's Supernatural Sirens. And, you know, make sure you're sending in all your reader stories. We may have a few surprises as far as some contest. If your reader story happens to be selected, there may be something there for you. And we want to hear from all our readers across the region, across the country. And we want to make sure that you guys are recognized, and we look forward to catching up with you after the holidays. And in the meantime, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's, and we hope to hear from you guys soon.
And also, if you have topics you would like for us to cover, supernatural subjects or topics that you would like for us to cover, send that in to our Gmail, Sirens of the Supernatural at gmail.com, and we will take all those into consideration and try to share, try to do some research and share on the topics that you choose too. So as we leave, we're going to say Merry Christmas and stay.
Thanks.
spooky. Bye, everybody.
We want to thank all of you for your support during 2023. We're happy to announce that an exciting new season of Sirens of the Supernatural will premiere on February 2nd, 2024. Until then, we'll be active on social media, so follow us and watch for contests, polls, and how to let us know what paranormal topics you'd like to hear us cover in the new year. Remember to send in your stories. Then, tune in starting in February. If we read your story on the air, you'll be entered for a chance to win a cool prize. So keep those stories coming. Email them to sirensofthesupernatural@gmail.com. Have a wonderful holiday, a happy new year, and stay spooky.